Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention from my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Yes, it is indeed the whip around, and we have ourselves a returning guest, everybody. Returning guest.
Whoop, whoop.
And you know what that means, Jill? We know what that means. That
Rave
means
time.
Loyalty oath. Am I right? No.
Yeah.
It's not loyalty oath. That's terrifying.
Blood
Ward oath. Ward Van Hout. That's right. Ward Van Hout's going to bleed for us now. No, it is, as promised, the return of Ward Van Hout. The Ward strikes back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Happy to be here again.
Return of the art guy.
Return of the beard.
There we go.
But he's back, and you know what that means. That means we've got not just a fascinating discussion
right
around the corner, which we obviously and absolutely do, but we've got contest payoff to talk about. Can we sort of breakneck speed right into contest stuff and then let the art take over our whole lives here?
Yeah, sounds great.
Whose day are you about to make?
And it's a number of days. Well, a number of people.
Right.
A number of people's
they
days.
They could be happy for multiple days, though, Sean.
No, I know, but it's like,
this elation can last.
We have many ways. And stay tuned at the end of the show for the closing announcement of the Warriors poster contest. But we got Ward here now. We're going to get the excitement fired up on that immediatamente.
Great.
That means now-ish.
Sure. So if you recall, there were five questions and a bonus question. So six possible prizes and then an invitation to ask me a question, and there'd be a couple other prizes out of that.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that part.
Right, yeah.
But there's some discussion questions too.
So let me just run down the answers, and then I'll list the winners. Okay. And each prize is a $25 gift card to Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery on Main Street in historic downtown Bethlehem.
Ba-da-ba-da. You know what? Can we just pause for what amazing music cue I'll
probably
put? All right, and then a fabulous downtown Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so for question one, we had what architectural element is featured on the exterior of our gallery near the doors? And the answer to that question is
Rick Moranis.
Yeah, he's an architectural feature?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Both of him.
The answer is two stone faces. They have a sort of Native American look to them and a sort of Art Nouveau decor to them.
Interesting.
So. Yes, indubitably. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yep.
I know you know what that means.
Right. So question number two is, how many rooms does the gallery boast? And the answer to that question is six. We have six rooms, including the lobby.
I was going to say, the lobby is in there, I believe.
Including the lobby, we have six rooms to view stunning art and beautiful interior design.
Probably the easiest question to have guessed at. I mean, you just sort of throw a number out there, but yeah. Okay.
Okay, and then question number three was the multiple choice question, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the answer, not run through the other multiple choices.
Can I just prep everybody? It was not the crematorium.
Unfortunately.
And how sad. Maybe you could put one in.
Yeah.
Maybe you could put one in for me.
Any room can be a crematorium.
I'm going to deviate for a
if
minute
you wanted
here.
Enough. Yeah.
In the house I went to that I lived in when I was in high school used to be a funeral home.
Yeah, I had that too.
Pleasant. Yeah. What? Both
of you? My grandmother's house that I was at a lot and lived at briefly.
And you still don't believe in ghosts?
Well, no.
Interesting.
I feel like I have authority
to find
there.
The crematorium, but I don't think there was one.
No, not in mine.
Yeah, and it was a Catholic funeral home from before contests.
Oh, yeah.
Were
they just embalmed them.
So, right. Yeah. But we were always searching for it. All right. So the question was...
That would be a great autobiographical title. You know, like searching for the crematorium.
So question number three was, what permanent feature is built into the basement of our building that hints towards the original intent? And the answer was A, bank vault.
There you go.
Yeah.
Although, you know, no, someone could have been incinerated in there.
That's true.
Try to break in and you don't get out.
Exit so through
it
the
was.
Yeah.
It was originally built as a bank, and there is a big, beautiful vault downstairs that is locked and unable to be opened. So who knows?
Really?
Jimmy Hoffa's down there.
Mm-hmm. We should get Geraldo out there to do the whole.
You should.
I really think
I
you
think
should
available.
Do that.
I definitely think he's available for
yeah.
it.
No, you could get a journalist or someone mm-hmm. with integrity
that
and
is,
sanity.
But right. I don't, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But,
and question
Lord,
number
Lord,
four.
Can I interject one
yes,
thing?
Yes, please.
So nobody gets to see that. Is that right? That's not something
nobody's,
that's part
no,
of the...
No, it's not part of the tour.
Do you think you'd ever release, like, photos? Like, this is what's
yeah,
down
sure,
there?
Actually, just... Mike, get on that. Mike, take pictures. Put them on Facebook.
Which, by the way, if you saw the photos on Instagram or on Facebook of some of the amazingly gorgeous items you can use these gift cards to help purchase... They were taken by
Mike Lebson.
Mike Lebson, who did a gorgeous job yeah. like, taking these photos. Yeah. It was very, very amazing. And Ward can't take credit for like
nope.
these gorgeous photos. Like, yes, that was Mike.
I mean, I asked Mike to do it.
There you go.
So I could,
leadership.
I delegated.
Really, yes.
But I'm sorry. I'm on the right. track as the train's coming through.
So question number four was, how many artists were featured in the Jerried Printmaker show, which just closed a little over a week ago? The answer to that was 20. There were 20 artists in the Printmaker show.
Hmm. Also a guessable question, but I guessed and got it wrong.
Yeah. And then question number five was, how many artists were in the grand opening show, not including furniture artists? And that the answer to that was 8. And I'm going to list those artists. We had Khalil Alaik, Nancy Bossert, Arturo Cabrera, Stephen Condra, Daryl George, Ginny Illick, Robert Taylor, and yours truly, Ward Van Hout. Now, we also had two furniture makers, and I'll list their names just to give credit where credit is due, Stephen Metz and Ryan Welty. So they were that was the group that kicked us off as a brand new gallery.
And part of the reason that you're saying that, of course, is that there was
the bonus
a bonus question
was
name
two of the artists.
Right.
So... So we had 4 winners. Question number 5, how many artists were in the grand opening show, was not answered correctly by any of our guests.
It was, like I said, like it yeah. was actually deceptively mm-hmm. tricky.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But hey, yeah. good. A for effort.
Right.
And for art.
So
art effort.
So we have 4 winners. We have Melissa Strouser, Chris LaRoche, Sarah Horluck. Is that
That's good
close?
Enough. That's okay. close enough.
And Chuck Siders. And I'm happy to also announce that Chris LaRoche was the first person to get the bonus question correct, answering Ward Van Hout and Khalil Alaik as two of the first artist students.
Great job.
So
great
well
job,
done,
citizens
everybody.
All, especially Chris, the double shot there, the three-pointer.
Chris actually answered 4 out of the 5 questions correct. So,
my.
And attempted every question.
So as right as anyone was,
right.
was that guy.
It was that guy, and he got the bonus question right.
Okay.
So congratulations. Chris will get a $50 gift card.
Wow.
And all of the other winners will get a $25 gift card.
Now, about that, and I think there's another piece that we're going to get to in a second, Ward. The winners can contact us for contact information, and we'll pass that on to you. Is that how you want to do it?
Yes, or they can stop in the gallery after the next show opens, which will be this Friday, and they can pick up the card. I'll have the names of the winners at the front desk. So you can either pick it up at the gallery.
Sort of a will call for your sure. prizes.
Or you can contact the Whip Around, give an address, and we will mail it to you.
Which I would send that to thewhiparound@gmail.com. That's thewhiparound@gmail.com.
So thank you everybody for playing. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think it was fun for
yeah.
me.
Hey, everybody, good okay. job. And that's not all, is it, Ward?
Right. No, the second part of that was a fun little activity where we asked listeners to ask me a question.
I was nervous about this. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe people would be too shy to do it, but you got more than one, right?
Yeah, I got a couple. So I'm going to read two questions for us today.
Very well.
Yeah.
You're the boss, man. And, this is your deal.
And do my best to answer them. But both of these listeners who asked questions will receive a Bethlehem House Gallery pint glass, which they can also either pick up at the gallery or
pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
But you're the only people that can pick it up from the gallery, may I add.
That is true.
That is not
something
available.
People can buy. That's
not
right.
Not for sale.
You're special.
I like that.
Super
we
special.
Jill and I have a glass apiece, and I really want to lord it over.
Everyone
you know,
else.
You can't get this at the gallery. This is for real collectors.
That's right.
You know what? I bet you there's something to be said for someday if you manage to get into the vault. Like, show you open it, and it's just a box of pint glasses. And they're like, look at this priceless stuff. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Right. So we've got some art-related questions.
Right.
Yes?
So Mr. Chuck Siders asked, well, first of all, he prefaced it by saying, I want a pint glass.
Okay.
And he says, so I have a question for Ward. When you are painting a series of paintings, example, poppy flowers, do you consider the series one work of art or a lot of little works of art?
Oh, that's a good question.
Very good question.
Good job, Chuck.
I don't consider them a lot of little works of art because they're typically not little, but
I am a hair splitting fiend.
Right.
I would guess he probably means individual.
But, yes.
Right,
and I
hey,
do.
Hey, Mr. Van Gogh, what's this little piece you're working on over here?
Right. What are you coloring today? So, Chuck, I do, in fact, treat them all as individual paintings, but under one frame of reference or one frame of mind. So I have currently been working on, and Chuck, impressively, is up to date on my
that is
work.
Correct.
Clearly, yes.
I am working.
I think we mentioned it too on the
series.
Show.
Oh, wow. So
I would
he listens
guess,
well, too.
I would guess he's a super. First right. of all, Mr. Siders has been. He's a friend of the show. He has contacted us in the past. So I'm glad he's still in there.
Yep.
So I don't know. Maybe he could tell us. Who do you like more? Is it the show or is it Ward? Mm. Who's your real friend? Well, is it sort of like. I know in music there's variations, right? People do variations on a theme. There's the Goldberg variations. Is it like that? Like,
I've
got an idea and I'm going to keep. Yes. Attempting it in different ways.
There's a couple things that are accomplished by working in series. One, it helps you keep focused. And I sometimes have focus problems. So
I'm over here.
So to give myself, to keep my attention going in the same direction, I'll work on a series. And
okay.
With the poppies, I'm working on a lot of poppies over the course of the whole year. That was my plan. Was to
I've heard that
work
about
on poppies, poppies, poppies. So it gives me a frame of reference, something to focus on, and so that I don't hit the sort of writer's block.
Yes.
The artist version of writer's block where you sit around in your studio and you don't know what to paint. So it helps me keep focused. The other thing it accomplishes is it helps me sort of perfect whatever that subject is. The more times I paint it, the better it gets, hopefully.
Fear not the artist who has painted 1,000 subjects. Mm-hmm. Fear the artist who has painted one subject 1,000 times.
And I do have an artist friend who paints the same subject over and over and over again.
Wow.
And then he'll move on to another subject, but like the exact same subject. My poppies vary from painting to painting, but he'll paint the same painting over and over again. Now, there are variations just by nature of...
Yeah.
Process, but.
And that in and of itself is that's a process in the art world, right? There are famous musings on a theme. Wasn't there at some point there was like someone had painted a pope, like sitting in a chair. He was sitting in a chair. I don't even know what pope. And then a lot of different artists really interpreted this picture of the. I just remember learning about that in art class because some of them were grotesque,
right,
monstrous.
Francis Bacon did.
Yeah,
a lot of
this terrifying.
Paintings.
All
yeah.
about this. Another person had done this pope. It was sort of like they were riffing on this thing. So I guess that's the sort of. It's riffing, right? You're
yeah.
kind of riffing on your own
mm-hmm.
stuff. That's yeah. selfish. That sounds really self-indulgent.
So thank you, Chuck, for that question. I do not. I treat them as multiple, as individual pieces. In a series, within a series.
Good question. Fine question.
So then we have Sarah. And Sarah's question is, how do you take it when someone has a completely different reaction to a piece than you intended?
oh, dear God, what is that?
Do you ever create something thinking people will feel one thing and they feel something completely different? That's a very good question.
I love that question, actually. I'm impressed by that.
I mean, it's a thinker. It's a difficult question to answer because I don't always know what people's reaction is, and people aren't always honest with their reaction.
Meaning, if they don't like it, are they really more inclined to be like, oh, by the way, I didn't care for that piece of yours? Probably not.
Oh, I hate this one. You're the artist? Yeah, no.
Right.
But I did recently exhibit a painting that had a woman standing in a dark room with a vase of poppies on the table. And a gentleman came into the gallery and said, that's the coolest vampire painting I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I was like, cool.
Yeah, man.
I never intended to paint a vampire. And I didn't tell him that. I said, thank you for your feedback.
Right.
And
get out.
It's whatever you want it to be.
Right. And I think that's what it boils down to, is what Jill just said, that it is whatever the viewer wants it to be for me.
But are you ever surprised if someone's like, man, this is the most uplifting thing I've ever seen? And you're like, oh my God. Like,
this is the worst moment.
I was putting all my sadness and anger into this painting, and then and like, it's a total shift of perspectives.
That's never happened?
I have had pieces that I absolutely hated that people have told me it was their favorite thing they've ever seen that I've done.
Okay.
So not necessarily like an emotional, they misinterpreted my emotion. They misinterpreted my value of that piece.
Right.
So, but never have you sought to say, I really am expressing something that is, say, dark within me. There's a something that I'm expressing that touches a dark place or a sad place or an angry place to where people have interpreted it as like how uplifting or the reverse. It's nothing like that.
It's actually the reverse of that, because I mean, you've known me long enough that I'm not a particularly dark person.
I don't
explore a lot of dark themes in my art. I try to go towards the whimsical and the light and the joyful. I have had many people tell me that there's a lot of darkness in my paintings. That has
been a little vampire.
But to answer the question, I don't ever really take it to heart. I might be like taken back by somebody's response if it's different from what I intended, but that's all part of putting something out there for an audience to view, is that you don't get to control their emotions. You don't get to control their reaction.
Yeah, once it's out,
it's for others to react to, others to interpret, and others to experience. So
I hate that.
I remember when I was first sort of in any art gallery ever, I was like, my feeling was, I wish there was a little description by each one of these things to tell me, here is what the background is. Here is what, I mean, you know, because you see those sometimes in exhibits for in a museum.
Sure.
Right.
For like a plant or a dinosaur.
Right.
So I was expecting like this will tell me what it is and why. But of course, that's not the point.
Right.
And in the art world, there's sort of debate. And it's not a debate. Some artists prefer to title their pieces and sort of names that'll sort of lead the audience to a certain understanding.
I'm sad.
And then some people will just not title their pieces at all because they don't want to influence the person's reaction. So so it's interesting. But thank you, Sarah, for that question. I don't have a negative reaction if people...
I like that this has gotten three swings from you so far. Mm-hmm. That's the mark of a good artistic question, is like, look, let me try to answer this in a very complex way.
Yeah.
So great questions both.
Yeah, so Sarah and Chuck, thank you, and you will get a Bethlehem House Gallery pint glass.
You're joining a very exclusive club
that
I am a member in. So
that is
a very qualitative jump in status. You're in a club that I'm in.
Congratulations.
So well done.
Illuminati.
Don't tell them. We don't have a lot more in Act 1, but there's one thing I do want to get to before we move into our deep dive after the break. And it's one heck of a jumping off point. But before we do, it's your second time here, Ward. And you know what we did not talk about last time you were here? It's just, what do we like? What kind of art do we tend to gravitate? I don't want to. Now, we could make this another enormous discussion. But I'm just wondering if we could kind of just. It sounds
what about
so,
what we don't like also?
Well, what do we thumbs up and thumbs down? Like, can we maybe give an example just so we all know where we stand of, I really respond positively to this. And you know what? I really just don't dig blah. Like, is that fair to ask that question?
It sure is.
Do you want to go first, kind of, or last word? Because you'll have the most educated opinion about it.
Why don't I go last?
Okay. Jill, do you want to start?
Yeah, I could start. I really don't like interpretive art or, like, not interpretive. I'm thinking of interpretive dance, which I also don't like, which is a form of art, but I don't care for it.
Okay. I will be still then.
But... that just reminds me of She's All That. He's like, be still. I forget the rest of it, but
I ended with have no frame sack. Of reference for She's All That.
Makes me sad. Anyway.
Well, do a dance about it, Jill.
There's.
Dance me a river. Boom! Sorry.
No, I think a lot of the performance art I don't really care for, although I always thought, because to me, it reminded me a little bit of, like, interpretive dance, where I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting out of this. Like, some of it's just way too out there for me. But I was in D.C. at one of the galleries, and they had an exhibit by, and I should have looked up her name before, but because I always forget it, but she's an Iranian artist who's known for performance kind of art and stuff, and she... It was a, you walked in and on one side there were two big screens that had, she was singing, well, not she, but there was a singer facing an empty crowd and then a male singer on the other side facing an actual crowd of people, and they were kind of dueling singing, and it was so...
In a
small space,
room.
Yes. Oh, and you walked okay. in and it was like, the first off, the like guttural kind of like Middle Eastern... vocals were really powerful, and then the whole notion that she doesn't have anybody to, it was like a whole commentary on yeah. set, like Jen, you know,
said Jen, mm-hmm.
you know,
on set, on Jen,
on men sure. and women, but in the it was amazing, and so that kind of changed my perspective. But normally I don't go for that stuff, but I kind of just like, I like most other art. I'm not like, I don't mind still lifes and things like that, but I prefer things that are a little bit more things that you don't see every day that
sure.
are more, this is something I plucked from my imagination and I'm putting it on canvas for you to think about, enjoy what it is. I don't necessarily have a super, I prefer more whimsical type stuff. Like, that's what I have in my house, but I like a lot more than just that.
Do you have a favorite famous artist? Or
I
two.
Really don't. I don't.
Where it's like, I mean, it could be local.
I mean, like maybe a less than famous artist.
Or maybe in a, you know, somebody you've ever done a podcast with.
I own a lot of art from an artist named Daria Tesler, but she's from New York. I like saw her on at like a, in the park. She had a little thing set up, a little stand set up with her art. And I've, she has a website called Animal Sleep Stories, and it's all like super whimsical stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I have like four pieces of hers, but like they're not original because I still can't afford a whole lot of right. like original art, but I like that kind of stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's my thing. But in terms of famous artists, I mean, like, I guess Jackson Pollock, I mean, I'll do some splatter stuff. That's the stuff where I don't get it, but like, I think it looks
that's
nice.
Fun to look at.
Right.
His, I learned this at my former university job. His wife was behind the titles of his pieces because he's one of the people who's like, I don't, whatever. So
yeah.
She would come along and just give like, how about this? You know what I mean? Or just give it a title so that there is something
yeah.
by these pieces. It's nice.
Yeah.
Because I remember asking this friend and professor, like, so what, where are these? Sometimes you wonder where these titles come from. And she was like, the wife. Mm-hmm. Like, it's her.
Yeah. And it's important. I think it's important to title pieces as a curator. I think it's important to title them.
That would help, wouldn't it?
It
yeah.
helps people, not only help people to understand them, because that doesn't matter as much. It helps people identify them.
Well, right. It'd be like
which
saying,
yeah.
like, I don't have a name.
I like the one
dude.
with the dripping.
The boob.
Right.
Like, there are no
that
boobs
swirly,
in these pictures.
The swirly, yeah.
The picture of my mom. What am I saying? Yeah.
Although
yeah.
everyone does do that. The swirly moon with the guy who's got, like, the ghost face, open mouth. And then
it's
you're
the
like,
screen.
Oh, yeah, that's the screen.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, people don't remember it.
I know. For me, I do not – I get it. I do. I don't like still lifes. And I don't mean to be – glib about the skill required
sure.
and what happens in there.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I'm not going to be stupid about it and be like, just take a picture. No. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. But there is just something in me that is bored by them.
Right.
I can appreciate the craft. Maybe it's like, I also don't like jazz, which I feel is like the still life of the music world. It's like, what? Look what we can do. Look at what's happening here. There's so much craft and skill, but I don't, there's nothing for me there. It feels unmelodic to me.
I disagree with that, but okay.
Well, that's fine. And I would also, if somebody was like, I like still life, so I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. For me, it doesn't work.
With your analogy.
The analogy.
I stand by it. Okay. I stand, what are you going to do? Solo at me for 12 minutes? Then I'm going to snap for you? But anyhow, I'm just not as into that. And I am a big fan. It's a phase of mine that I thought would pass. It never did ever since like middle school. I really like Italian Renaissance art, even into when it begins to cross out of the Renaissance, becomes mannerism a little bit. Once the necks start to elongate, I'm not as big a fan. Caravaggio, I see his work. I literally have teared up just looking at some of those pieces before. Not just him, but I mean like The Birth of Venus, of course. There's the Primavera, just all the different seasons personified. I'm moved by those pieces. So there's something about just the way that in that era and in that time and place. Why are you shaking your head like, nah, they suck?
No,
it's bullshit.
This is like when people just pull quotes from poems out of nowhere. This is when I'm like, I'm dumb because, like, I do not retain any of this knowledge to be like, oh, yes, this artist. Like, I know their name is right in at the top of my brain. And the same with, like, people who are like, a quote from Robert Frost. I'm like, how do you remember all this? How do you retain the information? I just can't. Yeah. Like, yeah, it looks nice. I guess that's Renaissance.
I'm amazing, first of all. Well, you named an artist that you're a fan of yourself that no one on this table knows yet. You know what I mean? It's more of an affinity, I think.
Right.
But this is about me. So I like those. And I have a number of them around my house. And if I was ever going to be an art thief.
Originals?
I was going to say. If I was ever going to be an art thief, that's where I'm going. Of course, I would get shot by whatever crazy armaments they have protecting those things.
You'd get tased.
Yeah, well, I think they go beyond that.
I think art thieves get tased first.
Not when you're going after, like, Raphael. I think they just kill you. So, okay, that's my perspective on it. And then we'll get Ward's, and then we'll use this to sort of move us into break.
Great. I'm very fond of...
Don't say still lives, please.
Yeah, I love still lives.
God damn it.
I'm very fond of figurative and portrait painting. And across styles. So going from your Renaissance portraits and figures to your more contemporary styles where it's more expressive or impressionistic.
But you're talking about unconventional portrait work?
You mean like a Picasso-type portrait and those like later, like where it's just like shapes, but it's a portrait?
I'm talking more in the realm of realism.
Okay.
So as far as contemporary artists go, I'm very fond of Lucian Freud, who passed away, I think, in 2011.
That is a name.
Any relation?
I don't know.
Lucian Freud?
Lucian Freud. I mean, you know.
You have to go into art with that name. Yeah. That's amazing.
I would think it would be something cerebral, no matter what it is, right?
And I'm very fond also of El Greco, who we spoke about.
Yeah, I know that is your favorite artist, I believe, pound for pound.
He's among my favorite artists, yeah. He had very expressive brushwork before expressive brushwork was a thing. So
I just think of Gordon Greco or Gecko, whatever. Yeah. That's who I think
of. I just think of the commercials for insurance.
I just think of Michael Douglas. Mm.
Okay.
So I'm very fond of figurative work. And
now, what does that mean exactly in the way you're using figurative?
The human form.
Okay. Because being from the literature writer side, I'm like, so
portrait?
Something that is but isn't?
Right.
Figuratively, this is a painting. In another way of speaking, somebody drove through with some rain and kept it on a canvas. Yeah. And you know,
human figure and portrait work is what I'm fond of. Now, I also very much like surrealism and Salvador Dali and some of his contemporaries I like a lot. What I don't like, and I'm going to name one artist that I passionately dislike.
Don't say Ward Van Hout. We're not equipped for the therapy.
Cy Twombly. You familiar with Cy Twombly?
Well, clearly I couldn't even remember Caravaggio.
You've been to the Philadelphia Art Museum.
Yes.
Okay. The contemporary art, the modern art wing. There is a room full of paintings that depict the Iliad, the events of the Iliad.
Okay.
And they're basically giant canvases with crayon scribbles all over them. And then, like, written sloppily, Achilles.
Oh.
And it's just, it's.
But that's word, a dare, a, isn't it? Like, tell me this is not art, huh?
It's a submersion.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. So I.
That's a good word for it. That feels like a subversion of art.
So I really don't like his, that specific artist's work. Okay. And
because?
Like, because it just looks like he scribbled on a canvas and it's just, we're, the joke is on us.
Okay.
This makes me so happy to hear this from someone who's like, actually in the art world, because I think we all think that, and then we're like, and of course me, I'm like, am I just too dumb? And like, is somebody next to me like, I totally get it. I'm like, you're full of it. No, you don't.
What I like about this moment is that Jill and I were all too eager to be like, yeah, fuck that guy. Like, we have no, we've never seen it. We're like, yeah, that's bullshit.
He's had paintings sell for $60 million.
And it's like Crayola
and it's,
quality.
Yeah, scribble. One is just this giant, and I'm like, here's the funny thing. I'm familiar with his work, and I hate him.
Yeah, I hear you.
And like, I'll look at his work to become more familiar with it because of how much I hate it. So the joke really is on me.
It's true.
That's like the Frozen soundtrack with me. I know that music and I fucking hate it.
And then like also some of the big wigs today, like Jeff Koons, who basically is just factory art. It's just he has a factory assembly line.
Awards
swinging now. What are your thoughts on Thomas Kinkade?
Same thing. Factory art, but crappy factory art.
Okay. What about a famous artist who worked at a place called The Factory? Though.
I love him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jill, who are we talking about?
I don't know.
Who's a famous artist, who pop artist from the 60s?
Warhol?
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
the
you
only,
know.
That's the only
see,
pop artist from the 60s.
Name another one.
Now, then, I just want to bring up one more thing, and it's sort of along the lines of your dislike of still lives. I'm not a big fan of photorealism. That's when somebody draws a picture so
I'm aware of
realistic. I know.
You need to look at Jill
to
when you say
I actually
that.
Do know what that is because I've been fooled.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's similar to your dislike of
jazz.
Of
say it.
No. Of still lives. It's just, and I will say, why not just take a picture? So now I appreciate the skill. Absolutely, I appreciate the skill, but it's very not interesting to me.
It's sort of a stunt. It's like, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. You've not really taken us anywhere. All right. So, we've fired a couple people up. We'd like to know what you think. What art do you love? What art do you hate? We've got something very exciting to talk about for the deep dive that when we come right back, we're getting right to it. It combines art, current events, true crime, and dismemberment. Think about that for the next odd 60 seconds or so, and odd I'm sure they will be. We'll be right back. Hold on tight.
Oh, look at Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot over here. Everyone wants a piece of this go-getter. I'm sure you hear it from your boss, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. Everyone wants a piece of you. Well, let us join the ranks, Chief. We need your mighty social media muscles to lift us to new listeners. So like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Whip Around. Heck, while you're at it, join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, well, well. Citizens, we've got ourselves a little drama. Dare I say, a little crime. A crime story to cover. Ward and Jill, I know to some degree, both of you are somewhat aware of the story I'm about to unfold here, but let's just check this out to make sure we're on the same page about this. What I'm looking at is a story from February was the last news about this story that I think ranges back to December, January, and then an arrest in February. The thing ran all over the web. I'm going to be pulling quotes here from the Washington Post because their opening lines to this particular story are amazing. Quote, for more than 2,000 years, the Terracotta Cavalryman statue guarded the tomb of China's first emperor, surviving centuries underneath the ground. Then, in December, a man in an ugly sweater took his thumb and a selfie.
That's in the Post?
That is in the Washington Post.
That's a great opening.
So the article goes on to explain that on this particular fundraising night at a museum, an ugly sweater event by the way, which is kind of a bummer because I was just kind of hoping that they were just giving it some stank. Like, we've seen the footage.
Right.
This guy is just a cad. He's
totally
a
throwing shade.
Right. Although it did also mention in the article, like, and he was wearing a Phillies hat. Like, because this happened in Philadelphia.
Oh, surprise.
So they did manage to stop and be like, yes, he was wearing a Philly hat.
Everyone in Philly just cringes anytime something like this happens. They're like, ugh.
Well, he was from Delaware, at least.
Yeah,
like,
but
anyway, yeah, it says here, 24-year-old Phillies hat wearing Michael Rohana slipped away from the event, got his pals to follow him at this thing at night. This was an evening event, sort of skulked over to where this, you know, the terracotta statue display was, crossed the ropes, put his arm around the statue, had a selfie taken. Although the way they say it, it sounds like his friends took the picture and it was another event of where older media doesn't know what a selfie is. But
right.
Some way there were some photographs taken. And then, as the security footage showed, sort of reached down, did some funny business with the statue's hand. Turns out he snapped off his thumb and left. Stuck it in his pocket. Off he went. The quote here. Quote, news of Rohana's alleged assault on the 210 BCE era statue has angered China, which reveres the thousands, I think there were 8,000, I believe, the thousands of terracotta warrior statues as treasured cultural artifacts. The director of the Shaanxi Provincial Cultural Relic Exchange Center said he hoped the United States would severely punish the perpetrator, who he said had undermined and robbed the human cultural heritage. So idiot goes and posts on on Snapchat. It was on Snapchat with the thumb, which just a side note, he referred to it in the description as being from a clay warrior.
Oh, yeah.
Of course,
like,
he
you
did.
Asshole. You can't even get the shit. Like,
it's like Play-Doh. Play-Doh army guy.
I got this thing from a sculpture that some guy did about 100 years ago. So, yeah, and so the guy gets a visit soon thereafter from the FBI at his home in Delaware. You know, he ends up having to, like, open his desk drawer.
Which is where he was keeping it.
Apparently, the FBI had to be very, like, school teacher about it. Like, they actually said, like, is there anything you want to give us? Like,
right.
And he sort of went, his dad was there, and he went up, took it out of the desk, and I guess handed it back. So he gets charged here. Hold on. It says,
did you say how old he is?
I was thinking the same question.
Yeah, it's like 20.
24.
24.
24. Okay. So it said he was charged with theft of an object of cultural heritage from a museum, concealment of that object, desk drawer, and interstate transportation of stolen goods, all of which he confessed to.
But it was just in Delaware.
It's true.
Do they even have
right
laws?
Over the bridge.
It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Quote, the terracotta cavalryman statue Rohana targeted was valued at $4.5 million. And the thumb,
just
I don't
the
know,
one statue.
Yeah. And I don't know how they did this evaluation or valuation. The thumb itself, $5,000.
Man.
The $5,000 thumb.
Yeah. I could buy a terracotta. I could buy a thumb.
Guys, let's put our money together. Maybe we could get like a pinky nail. So the Chinese official was very upset and very angry. Was saying they were going to send two experts to help repair the statue. They
cut off that guy's thumb.
Which I kind of expected when I was reading it. Like, what
well,
is there?
I mean,
for a
severe
thumb.
Punishment in Asia is different than severe here.
True.
So he was freed. February 13th was the last I had heard about his own status, this guy. $15,000 personal recognizance bond. And I think 2 weeks later, he and his attorneys are starting to do a little soft shoeing, like, hey, can we see the statue? Can we get our own look at it? To which the Chinese were like, fuck no, we can't see our statue. You've got a thing. You're going to just, we know what you're up to. First things first about this whole story, okay? Boy meets statue, boy maims statue, boy gets in trouble and is responsible for major cultural vandalism and destruction of property. What are your knee-jerk reactions to the story? We've got Ward and Jill here. We've got an art expert and an unpredictable commentator of current and pop culture events in Jill. What do y'all think about the story?
I mean, first of all, Philadelphia, come on, man.
He was from Delaware, I'm just saying.
I know, but
although
like,
security stuff, couldn't have been...
Was it at the, if I remember, was it at the Franklin Institute?
Yes, that is correct.
My family's from Philadelphia. My best friends are all from Philadelphia.
Some of my best friends are Philadelphian.
Yeah. So why is this stuff like the horse poop thing at the Super Bowl?
Oh God, I can't even think of it.
And the Hitchbot come through.
That's the Goodwill touring robot.
Yeah,
right?
Robot
across the country until it made the fatal mistake.
Yeah. Philadelphia.
Like, cross through Canada and, yeah. like...
We're better than this. Like, we're one of...
Well, evidence would suggest. But again, he was wearing a Philly. It was almost like, yes, I'm from Delaware, but I got to put on my uniform.
Right.
Philly's hat, mm-hmm. and off I go.
So, I mean, destroying art is... And especially, like, ancient pieces of art from other countries...
Over 2,000 years old.
Over 2,000 years old. I mean, come on. It's
come on, man. It's, what are we doing here, man?
And for what appears to be a prank, not like he didn't hate the thing. He didn't, right. he didn't have yeah, like a visceral, angry right. reaction.
Nor did he come in with like glass cutters and rubber gloves or whatever and like a black yeah. suit and shimmied up through like a... Like a grappling hook. He
right.
just
he wasn't trying to profit off of this. It was just a
just a little gift for the best
thumb. Yep. Yeah. So I mean, initial reaction is that guy sucks, and people in general. Not people in general suck, but people can suck.
Come to my
no,
side
can
of the,
we just,
of the
like,
table. Work.
Quarantine. I mean, enough is enough. Can we just all agree to quarantine young men from the age of like 16 to
70.
40. Like, there's just, especially that like late teen, early 20s, I just.
The hormonal.
They're just the worst
there.
People. They're just the worst. Most of these stories from Philly, it's a young dude. It's a young dude in
One
his
or
20s
more young dudes. It's,
who's
they're worse
doing
in
all of these things. It's always some young dude in a Phillies hat doing this stuff. It's always, 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 9 times out of 10. There's
I don't know.
Something in the water
I was
there,
once,
and it's called testosterone.
I was once a teenager to 40-year-old man, still him.
Yeah.
And I never broke things off of statues, priceless statues, or was just, I mean, I'm sure I wasn't always perfect, but I didn't do things to that level of
right. No, but it does
idiocy.
Seem that it is what the automobile insurance industry would call a high-risk group.
Right.
Right, for breaking appendages off of statues, mm-hmm. right? The individuals are the individuals, but as a group, mm-hmm. young, what's the word I'm looking for here, Jill? Like seething hormonal
right.
dudes are kind of dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny too, because I would imagine, I didn't really do a whole lot of research into the backstory of that event, but I've been to. That was
Franklin
at the Franklin
Institute.
They have like adult only events once a month where like they have drinks and you
well,
walk
I gotta
around.
Figure
and
that was this.
Stuff. Right. And I think that was one of the events. And normally their main exhibit that they have going on at that time.
Which
this
was closed.
This was, right.
No, this was closed.
No,
this was
didn't
not.
Let me finish.
Okay. All right.
Ay, ay, ay. No respect on this show.
It's because he's a man between 16 and
right, 40.
45.
That's right.
But they normally, whatever the main exhibit is at that time, they have closed off. So I don't understand why they, for something like this that's even probably more valuable than their normal exhibit of the moment that's closed off, I don't know why they didn't have more security. I guess they just assumed people weren't going to be idiots because they have this on a monthly basis that normally they don't have an issue.
Okay.
But
and in the Franklin Institute's defense, this is the only time anyone's ever stolen a thumb off of an ancient statue. One of their events.
Right. This was an unforeseeable
tragedy. This is the first thumb we've lost.
So when they're issuing their apology to China, they should be like, this has never happened before.
This is an accounting we have here on this sheet. This is all the thumbs we never lost. 6,278,000.
And in that kid's defense, as probably a young American male, if I could put myself in his shoes, it'd probably be like, well, like the oldest thing in our country is like 200 years old. So like,
well, not today.
That's
sir. Not
this
today.
Like I can't grasp how. Old this is.
That's not a good defense.
Well, we're putting words
I'm
in his
saying.
Mouth a little 24 bit.
24
but...
years old. Like, I mean, maybe that's exactly. a good defense for a 10-year-old. But
right.
for a 24-year-old, that's not a good defense.
I don't think they grasp, though, the concept of, like, this is actually an important thing.
Well, and we're now circling around some of the things I want to focus on. So let me start taking some steps ahead so we can mm-hmm. approach this as an example of some behaviors, too. Okay?
Right.
Like, as a representative example of a number of things. Problems, attitudes, and what have you. So I am a huge fan of, I can't really have many myself, but of old, rare objects. I am into knowing, like, this is the only one. You know, I have a collection of they're not that. I have like a
Indiana Jones syndrome.
I guess I have a 19th century Latin textbook for like teaching. Like it's really.
Ugh. So boring.
I think it's cool.
What
Sean.
The hell ever. But it's got what's cool is it has like the doodles in the margins of kids back from the 19th century who were like Jill who had no respect for education.
Just penises everywhere.
Isolate
Boobs.
That. There. That too. That too. But so anyway,
although back then it was probably just like a petticoat.
Woo!
Right.
Trousers.
You having fun? This is good. Yep. This is good. Anyway, I'm also, I really someday would like to experience, I don't know, turn the pages of like a Shakespeare folio. I would like the opportunity to check out, you know, Voltaire's bound work, you know, that he would have been responsible for having, or, you know what I mean? I also like Molière's play. I would love to see some of these original texts, mm-hmm. right? Even if someone gave me the chance, as I'm not a particularly enthusiastic Catholic anything, but from all that I've learned and understood, to get into like the Vatican archives, I would probably weep with the information and the age and the intensity of these documents, all this stuff.
With your white gloves on.
Exactly. And you have to.
Smelling the pages.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Do you know why I'm going to have the opportunity, if I play my cards right, maybe someday to do all these things?
Because you didn't break the thumb off?
Because nobody has access to those things without training, without serious observation, and without proving themselves to be deserving to be near these objects.
Right.
Okay?
That's a good point, yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to throw out there, and I know there's a chance that I'm oversimplifying, but I do want to ask the question. Are we just being, and I mean globally here, not just nationally even, are we being too pie in the sky by letting people get anywhere near the actual paintings, sculptures, whatever? Is there something to be said for, look, don't show the real terracotta pieces. People, humans, can't handle it. Show them a copy. Take the Mona Lisa down in the Louvre. Put up a copy.
Yeah, she's already behind bulletproof glass because people couldn't treat
see
the Mona Lisa
saying?
Well either.
Take the originals down is my thesis here. I'm not necessarily advocating it in every situation.
Posing it as a question.
But is that better, to maintain these classic pieces that people have proven they can't handle as a group and just show the copies, except for those people who have proven themselves through effort and time to deserve to be near the real deal? What do you think? Either of you here. I'm suggesting that people can't handle the real things and might as well deal with a copy unless you're an expert. Meritocracy of art.
I think it's really sad. I think that's a very
have
sad.
Have I bummed you out?
Yeah. I don't think.
Weren't you the one who said people are pretty terrible?
Yeah, but I backpedaled that right away.
Okay. There's a lot of darkness in your art and your initial statement.
Yeah. I think it's really sad because I think that we should have access, and the general population should have access to these as learning tools, as just appreciating the history of it all.
Do they do anything in that way that a copy wouldn't do?
Yes.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Think about smelling the pages of that book. You know, you can't.
Yeah, I've earned
not
it.
Not only even that, I think.
But you can't
smell
the Mona Lisa as
right,
it is.
No,
just it
no
out
and
there.
I agree. I think there's. If you go to D.C. and you go and see the Declaration of Independence, like, mm-hmm. there is something about seeing, knowing that what I am looking at right there, even though it's under glass and then there's no way I can physically touch it or smell it or anything, but I know that that thing is the one that got signed by the people who founded our country and all these great people. Like,
on it.
There's something more powerful about that than, because you can buy a replica at the gift shop.
No,
like,
if it,
and there's something, it's not the same.
There's a humility there, I think.
If
there
it,
is, yeah.
If it turned out that everyone to this point in the last, let's say, 50 years has been looking at a copy without knowing and still having that experience.
Like the Allegory of the Cave type situation.
Well, I don't want to get too platonic on you, but let's just say, I've done this too. We go directly from ancient Greek philosophers to the Matrix.
Absolutely.
But if someone had been, if that's what people understood, does that, you know, maybe someone just tells you privately.
Right.
No one in the last 100 years has seen the real Mona Lisa or has seen the real Declaration or whatever.
Right.
Doesn't that mean, hey, you know what? The stuff has been safe and people have been getting their transformative experience.
I think when, all right, so hundreds of millions of people have probably looked at the, have looked at the Mona Lisa before and sure. after it was behind
bulletproof glass and right. ropes and distance.
And of that hundreds of millions of people, only say a half dozen or so have tried to destroy it. Somebody almost damn near succeeded, like
yes,
poured
true.
Acid on the Mona Lisa and it had to be restored. So then that raises another question. Does it even have its original trueness about it if it's had to be restored?
Oh man,
anymore?
That is total Matrix.
Yeah.
That is so the Matrix. So, but yeah, what is it anymore and all of
right.
that? But okay.
It's a good point. No, it's a good question because it's similar to like if I had, you know, a locket that I thought belonged to my grandmother and I loved it and cherished it. And then eventually at some point someone was like, that wasn't hers. Like,
you have to be one of her favorites for grandma to show you the ring.
I'd be like, what? But does that then negate the feelings that I had, the right. connection that I somehow manufactured for myself?
Getting deep.
I don't know. You know, that's a tough question, but I do think that there are certain things that you can't. But I'm saying you can yeah. go and see these things, and being there, you could very easily say, we need to preserve this, and literally, like, you cannot come close to it at all. You can, like, drive past it on a road, but you can't go in and walk around. But, like, we determine that there's something about physically being there and being
what,
in
cultural
that space.
Heritage site.
Right.
Yeah.
But for the Chinese, this is a cultural heritage site that's actually able to be moved. They weren't created for art, but they were created to guard an emperor. They were created for an actual.
Know.
No, my point being is that they were created for a purpose similar.
Yeah.
And so I just think that there are certain things that we need to have that access to in order to, I don't know, maintain our humanity, I guess.
If they just told us that those were the 2,000-year-old terracotta warriors, would it really have any effect on us?
Well, even if they weren't full-on lying, if they're like, this is an exact
replica.
This is to the material and everything else, except for the fact that it's not. Look, I want to get to the next question soon.
Oh, well, I was going to say, when I first saw that they were coming to the Franklin Institute, mm-hmm. my initial thought was, those are replicas. And then when I found out that they were real, I was like, oh my
Holy
gosh,
shit.
I really like should try and make an effort to go. That affected my view of them because otherwise I was going to be like, well, who cares if I don't see them?
Yeah, and
they're not the real
that.
Thing.
Like, if they told me it's a replica,
I would throw out there that look what has happened. How nice if it would have been a replica that some imbecile managed to deface.
Right.
Dethumb. Mm-hmm. Let me transition, and I love the fact that we could talk about this forever. Let me turn to Jill here. Jill had a series of conflicting reactions to this when we were getting the show ready, when we were having like our meetings on the show, and I can see her prepping for some kind of curveball
question.
Trying
to remember what I said, yes.
Okay, well, very early, Jill. Very early, and it came up twice with what you were thinking about sort of out loud with us. You had mentioned that Oregon rock formation,
yes.
the duck head formation in Oregon that not long, was it a year and a half, something like 2 years ago, a group of Boy Scouts walked up,
Boy Scout leaders.
Yeah, crossed the ropes and were caught with like a drone camera that was nearby. They pushed it over. Thousands, eons, I mean, however long, I mean, it's rock formation, at least, what, a couple millennia? Mm-hmm. They went and pushed it over. In the same conversation, though, because Jill was saying, look, this is what people do. This is what can happen. She also mentioned, which we can add this to the list of these cultural heritage sites, actually, Jill. You mentioned, well, we could restrict people's access to the Statue of Liberty, but we don't. And you were sort of turning it over within your mind. What is this relationship between closing off valuable art and culture and leaving it open? I was just wondering if you could take us through, because those are conflicting ideas. Like, look what people do.
Right.
But on the other hand,
it's a really
there's a sense of if you shut it all off, there's a problem.
Well, yeah, it's a big push-pull because it's like it is. These Boy Scout leaders, they pushed the rock over because they were like, they said
they made a lame
they
excuse.
Were right. They were afraid someone could get hurt
I
if it falls.
I thought they said someone did get hurt, and it was like revenge for their friend.
But it was like, but it was also like, if anyone should know better, it's a Boy Scout leader. Like, you're just an idiot.
You leave the trail the same way you found it.
Right.
Yeah, I get right. I mean, is that a thing? That sounds like a thing.
Yeah.
Merit badge for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yes. but yeah, when I thought about like the Statue of Liberty, you could very easily, especially with Statue of Liberty, you could very easily be like, we're shutting this down. Like, you cannot have access to it. But we've decided that it's a worthy thing for us to visit and get a sense of our country and what has happened and transpired and people who has made up our country and all that kind of stuff. But it's a difficult question because humans innately want to destroy things. Not everyone as an individual, but as humanity, we destroy things. That's
we have a destructive impetus.
It's
like evolving.
Kids walking down the beach and destroying sandcastles, which really
right.
gets my goat.
Right.
I build very nice sandcastles.
I'm sure that you do.
And
okay.
When I see kids kicking down sandcastles, and with my own kids, I have to be like, somebody worked hard on that. Don't knock right. it down. My wife gets joy out of destroying beautiful things.
Mm.
So she has to fight it now.
She's the yin to your yang.
Really hate that she has to fight it.
So she's a castle kicker.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, not
anymore. SamCastleKickers.com.
Right. She's recovered.
You could very easily, though, say, you know, we are going to take photos of all of this art and you're going to look at it in books and that's how you're going to learn about it. We don't need to actually have it out for you.
Or a museum of replicas or a, you know, traveling collections.
Right, but
copies.
At that point, again, if people knew it, you'd go, well, what's the point? I'll just look at it in a book. Like, there's a different.
Tragic.
Feeling when you're there. And so I think that it's I don't know what the answer is, because you do have this thing where you're like, people are going to destroy it. Inevitably, someone's going to do something. Someone's going to rip a thumb off or push one over. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I mean, something's going to happen. That's a risk that we take, but I think it's a risk that you take knowing that the payoff is so much greater because you're reaching all these people and they are learning from the past.
Ward. Same idea. I merely wonder here and want your response to this mm-hmm. about is access to even, I'll say, priceless art too democratized? Is it too easy? Do too many people have low to no risk access to these priceless one-of-a-kind item or one-of-8,000
right.
items?
I'd say no. I said we. I think we
you
should
guys
all.
Are hippies, man.
I think we should all have access to it. I think it's. I think that's half the point of. I mean, of a lot of the art and a lot of the art is that it's for people to experience. And I think if you take that away, you're robbing people of something. And it's also worth mentioning that most people don't destroy it. Like the vast majority of people that go to museums don't go with the intent or even accidentally destroy things. Like.
But they do accidentally destroy things too, don't they?
Yes, accidental.
What was, you mentioned
It was in Thailand, I think. There was a 11 or 12 year old kid that stumbled over a display and put his fist through like a priceless piece of art, like an.
No one else is going
that
to be
an
able.
Accident?
To, well,
it was
evidently was,
an was
a full blown. Now that we could argue about who was the paintings.
I feel like that'd be me. He
was an awkward.
Now, nobody else is going to get to look at that thing. I'm just throwing
it
out
there. Well,
actually,
they are because it got restored.
Yeah, but again, is that that painting anymore?
So when I think
about... That was an interpretive dance, Jill, and I'm sorry to you and to our listeners.
When I think about all of the people that have experienced art, artifacts, historical museums, and have benefited in various ways from that, and then I think about the few people that make us question whether or not we deserve that. It's very, very one-sided. Most people don't do that. So do you take it away? Do you take these things away from people because of the crimes of a few?
Yes.
I know you would say that. I say no. I say that is an obvious risk, but these things are valuable because they can be seen, because there's something that we can experience, and they actually don't have any value anymore if we can't.
It's true.
Okay. Well, I see your perspective on that. Yeah. And I'm glad to be hearing multiple perspectives on the show. Let me move on again, because Jill was a superstar in the preparation for this episode, and she gave us even more to think about and to discuss with this, and potentially even more where I show myself to be a distrusting, greedy, get-off-my-lawn art-style host here. So we'll see where everybody lands. Jill, I think... you also threw out that some part of the problem about art appreciation and, I don't know, keeping a non-destructive attitude has to do with different cultures not having an equal level of appreciation for a culture that isn't theirs.
Yeah,
so,
I remember this.
If we think about this in terms of, you know, How, I guess here, how do we increase sensitivity and appreciation between cultures to where someone from the United States would never dream of defacing the Chinese art? That people don't have arguments over whether maybe the Egyptians should have their cultural treasures from, you know, the old kingdom and on return to them. You know, one of the things that will come up later in the show, so stay tuned, everybody. The famous bust of Nefertiti, of Queen Nefertiti, is in Berlin. Why Berlin? You know what I mean? Like, there are all right. these. So while we have art scattered to different countries for different reasons, and different people, as you've asserted, tend to be more sensitive to the objects in their own home.
Yeah.
Right, in their culture. So I'm wondering, where do we go? And later I'm going to tilt this to you, Ward, too, so don't get itchy, because this is an art gallery question. What do we do? Specifically, what does the art world do to try to increase some sensitivity between cultures? Like, art matters and is valuable, even if it's not your culture.
You're not going to like my answer, because I don't know. Because that requires you to teach someone empathy, and I don't know how you do that. I've struggled with that my whole life. Like, how do you teach someone else empathy once they're an adult?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And the problem is everyone is a little nationalistic when it comes to that stuff, where you're like, well, of course our stuff is priceless. Like, this is our heritage. And then they go elsewhere and it's like, well, who cares? It's not really, I don't understand why you care so much about this. And it's like, well, one, I don't understand how you can't see that this means something to someone else. So therefore it should, at the minimum, at least you understand that, so you have some amount of reverence for it.
Right.
Even if you don't have, maybe not reverence wasn't the right word, but you know
what
I mean?
Appreciation.
Right.
And
respect. I guess maybe respect for it, even if you don't have the same reverence for it that they do.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get that across. I used to think it was traveling, but, you know, I had a friend who was a diplomat, and he was,
get him on the show.
In,
what?
He was in a, living in Cyprus, and he went to, was it Jerusalem? And he said the Americans that were going to, you know, the temple and all this stuff were like, I don't know why I can't bring my Bible in here. And they were like, we can't bring anything in here because it's not a Christian.
What?
It's not a, like, it's a mosque, like the big mosque that's there.
Who thinks, like, we're going to go to a thing, got to bring my Bible in the
trip? Well, because there's a church group from America who was like, this is ridiculous. And he's like, well, no. He's in line around these people. And he's like, it's not really ridiculous. Like, this is their church. It's their rules. Like, you got to follow what these people, like, you can't just, everywhere you go is not where you're from.
Yeah, you don't take your value bubble with you into wherever you go.
Like, right.
Now it's all my values in this space.
Well, when you
space.
Talk about cultural differences, yeah. Sure. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's true, but it's a terrible stereotype, but it has accuracy. I think Americans are the worst at that because somehow we've just...
I've experienced it elsewhere, though.
My
wife and I were in Prague, and we visited the chapel where the Infant of Prague is.
Well, who's the Infant of Prague?
The Infant of Prague is actually
Hans.
A statue of the Christ child.
Oh, okay.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of Catholic culture behind it.
Right.
Anyways, it's in a chapel.
Okay.
And there was mass being said.
Like, this is a functioning
being held,
chapel.
Right.
So my wife and I go to see the statue, and we see that there's mass going on, so we join the mass. We sit down in a pew and participate in the mass. This other group of tourists, non-American tourists, I don't know what language they were speaking.
But it was not English. So.
But it was not English, and they're walking through loudly pointing and taking pictures in the middle of the mass. So it's not just Americans.
Right.
I mean, there are people all over the world that don't respect other people's cultures. I mean, you certainly don't help people respect other cultures by hiding them from them, by taking away the exposure that they have to these other cultures. So if you don't bring the Terracotta Army to Philadelphia, Philadelphians don't get to experience that part of their culture.
Or something that looks like the Terracotta.
Or something that looks like
that. Especially when you do realize that the opportunity to go to China is limited for most people.
Right. If the only way I can see the bust of Nefertiti is to go to Egypt, and I live in Germany, which I don't. I live here. But the only way...
Nefertiti.
Okay.
But is it, though? I mean, do we really know?
I don't.
I think it's phonetically written on the bust on the bottom.
Oh, well, I've never been to Berlin to see it.
there's Nefertiti. There's an eagle, and then there's a...
I wish it was Nefertiti, because you know what? Because it doesn't wouldn't be so close to saying titties every time I say it.
Maybe that's why I say it, because I'm all repressed.
You know, your problem is you need to go to more museums that are filthy.
Right. So I don't think that you help people become more empathetic to other cultures by hiding it from them.
By restricting cultural access.
That's a good point.
So then and I wanted to bring this question to you specifically for that purpose, Ward. Do you think then there might be an underappreciated aspect, and I mean in the mass of people? I'm sure many more cultured, enlightened folks like yourself and the regular patrons of the Bethlehem House Gallery know better. But is there something to be said for the art gallery's role in culture showing us exactly what you're talking about? That here is a place where you can see things from, if not all over the world, all over different people's experiences and attitudes and styles, all in one place. And I would imagine the attendance at galleries is not at all time high these days across the world. Yeah. I don't know, but it certainly seems that cultural value is not at its peak right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We experience pretty regular crowds in our gallery on weekends in particular, and people are just walking around town.
Sure.
And I do think that we're providing a service to people. Now, we would like for some people to buy the art in the gallery
because that's how
we stay open.
Sure.
But we stay open during Music Fest. We have limited hours during Music Fest because we don't need to be part of that night crowd. But
Ward, you're never going to reach the drunk assholes at Music Fest.
All
if
that.
Don't,
think
nothing's
all
ever
going
to get defaced
if
you don't.
If you don't expose right. them to art that they can barely see.
And we have lots of people walk through, and maybe not your average, art gallery attendee. So I feel like we've maybe exposed them to something that they may not have seen if we weren't open at that point in time. And it's certainly not – the Music Fest crowd is certainly not a big money-making crowd for us. But
okay.
Who knows? Maybe they have a friend that it says, well, how was your weekend? Oh, I went to the Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Oh, how was it? It was great. I went to this gallery and they had cool art and stuff. I didn't even know I liked cool art and stuff.
I want to subscribe to a podcast that is just by Ward Van Hout that is two ornery Santas talking. I was at this thing. It was amazing. So, okay, we can agree then, if on nothing else here in this discussion, that the role of the art gallery in all of this does have some incredibly powerful role to play in exposing people to culture, yeah, but also fostering some respect and understanding for cross-cultural value.
Yeah, I hope
so.
Yeah.
Okay. To that end, because I wish there was all the time in the universe. Mm-hmm. Alas, there is not. Can we phase out? And by the way, as we phase out of this discussion, I would like to encourage anybody listening, if you've got your opinions on this, if you've got something to say about our discussion, about the value of art, about what should happen to people who screw it up, about do we show people the real stuff no matter what? Do we hide it and keep it forever?
Have you ever defaced anything? And if so, please explain why. What force caused you to want to do that?
Or did a friend of yours
right.
maybe wants to face something. Let us know how that worked out.
Or knock down a sandcastle that someone spent 6 hours making in the hot sun in July.
Hi, Becca. How are you? So in the transition out, can we get back to the goofy side and play another game?
Yeah.
Can we play another game? This will take us out of the deep dive, and then we will wrap things up with one last contest update for a poster and three for the road in Act 3.
Great.
But can we do a game?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
All right. And I don't worry. It is immature. Don't worry. Don't worry. All right. So surely, and this is not exactly what we're doing, but surely you've heard of Mary F. Kill.
Yes.
Yes? Someone gives you.
Oh, yes,
or Mary
yes.
Boff Kill sometimes. Or
okay. Okay. Britain. Sure.
I really don't know. I'm cultured, Jill. Don't mock it.
Accept it. I watch
don't
all
break
British...
the thumb off of my... comment.
That's what I watch on YouTube at night. It's all British game shows. They're funny. 8 out of 10
this
cats.
This is about to be therapy.
That's all. Continue.
Okay. We're going to play a version of that. What we're going to play is Purchase Display Ruin.
Okay. Ooh.
Working title, but Purchase Display Ruin.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is throw out...
I hope Cy Twombly pieces in here somewhere.
I wish. Now I have to do another round.
Man.
So I'm going to give you three pieces, and then you tell me which one would you... you know, and imagine here that you've got all the money in the world or all the contacts that you actually could purchase one of these things for your own property, your home.
Right.
Okay. The other one, display. You're going to leave it in a museum or whatever it is.
Okay.
And the other one, you are going to destroy.
Okay.
You are going to either, and I want you to picture this now when you make your decision, you're going to either set this thing ablaze, right? You're going to I want you to feel the match torch or you know, lighter and hairspray and the whatever it is. Imagine that feeling.
Okay.
Or if it's appropriate to feel the sledgehammer in your hands in certain cases, will you reduce this thing to broken bits of cultural insensitivity on the floor? Okay?
Great.
So,
yes.
Ward, you're going to go first.
Okie dokie.
And then we'll see where we land. Okay?
All right.
And if you need me to describe any of these,
are you assuming that we're not going to know what they are?
I have endeavored to choose things that our audience and you, Jill,
right,
will know with, if anything, a modicum of description.
Okay,
but I have endeavored
to
not make this too visual so that someone doesn't know what we're talking about.
Carvaggio is not on.
Carvaggio is wildly whatever.
I've heard the name.
I said it. Yes. So Ward, here we go.
Yes.
Purchase display ruin. Michelangelo's David, The Scream, and Whistler's Mother.
Ooh. All right.
Purchase display ruin.
I would purchase The Scream.
Okay. Scream goes to Ward's house.
Yep. It would fit very well with my collection.
I'm not going to dispute that. Sure.
I would display David and Whistler's Mother. She ain't going to be here anymore.
That's right.
Should have given it a better title, even though you did. Okay.
She should look happier.
Okay. Jill, different answers for you on that one?
That was exactly what I would have done as well.
Yeah,
good job.
Me too.
All right. Cool.
Not me. I haven't thought about it because I'm the host. It's not. It doesn't matter what I'm thinking. Right. In this one, I am sole host and you guys are my subjects.
No, Whistler's Mother is like, that one's boring and depressing. I don't want that.
It's like
my
jazz.
House.
So, Jill, let's start with you on this one.
All right, yeah.
The Last Supper, which I realize is...
Did you say, let's start with me? I'm the only other person here.
Well, this time you get to go first.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, you're yay.
Wow.
Sweet.
Okay. All right. The Last Supper. So you might need to burn a building down here for this.
Okay.
The Last Supper, Warhol's Campbell soup can, right? The particular famous individual can.
Yep.
And the famous limestone bust of Queen Nefertiti, or Nefertiti.
I think
thousands
I would.
Of years old, that one.
I'm so tempted to, like, I just think it would be
purchase display
so
ruin.
Intimidating to have the Last Supper, like,
which
in
is
my
fine
kitchen.
If you want to take it. We'll cut it off the wall and it's yours.
And
you
just
can display
have
it,
it. Like,
yep.
Just be like check that out.
So that's your purchase.
Yeah, I just want to be that ostentatious. So yes, and then I think Nefertiti, I would. Display.
Okay.
And then I'm burning Warhol.
All right.
Burn
and any
can.
Particular justification of why the soup is the one that goes down?
I just think it's the newest.
Okay.
So, like, someone else can come up with that.
Ward, your answers to that again? Last Supper, Campbell soup can, limestone bust, Queen Nefertiti.
I actually have the same answer.
You guys.
I know. Well, and I'll explain why. The Last Supper, first of all, it's an amazing painting. So I would.
It
I
is
would,
quite good.
And I Jesus would, painted it, right?
I think they just took. I think it's actually they
it's
just
a photo. It's a
just,
photorealism.
They just got a shot of them at the table.
This is the only photorealism that I like. Okay, so and it also there's an emotional reason for that too. It was over my grandmother's dining room table, a print of it.
Thanks, Ward.
It was
a copy. Of my grandma temporarily tore it off the wall. She put it
just
back.
To be clear.
And then the same thing with the Nefertiti.
Oh, yeah.
How am I doing?
I'm so sorry that we're so bad at this. Yeah?
It's the age of it. It's ancient.
Right.
It should
it's
be
also
displayed.
It's quite beautiful.
And it
too.
Is quite it is. Beautiful.
Just saying.
And it should be displayed. And the Campbell soup cans, I'm assuming that you mean destroy all of them that he made.
Yeah,
he made
really,
lot.
If we're going to do this,
yeah.
It would be the
right.
Eradication of the...
So,
of the
open
what's
my
the, what's the...
Series.
The series. Thank
yeah.
you.
So, I would... sorry, Warhol. I like some of Warhol's work.
He's dead. They're all dead.
Yeah.
All these are dead. Okay. Ward, you're going to lead off on this one.
Excellent. Oh, wait. There's only two of us.
I didn't understand the concept that we were then going to the other person for their answers. That's what threw me, Sean.
I want to alternate who gets to say, my answers are the same. Okay. Ward, here we go. Here we go. Let's turn the let's turn the temperature up on this a little bit. The Mona Lisa. All 8,000 terracotta warriors.
Ooh.
And the Venus de Milo.
Ooh. All right.
Purchase, display, ruin.
It would be
and
pretty,
if you purchase 8,000 statues,
it would be pretty awesome to...
It could be on your property. You could arrange them.
And that's where I was going. I would very much like to purchase all 8,000 terracotta warriors.
Okay.
And like set up a battle on the farmhouse property.
Hell yeah.
You know, cross-pond battle between them. It'd be sweet, okay? Now, this is where it gets tricky, because the other two are beautiful and old pieces
of art.
The Mona Lisa
and the Venus
de Milo, yes. I think that I would...
Remember, feel the sledgehammer's weight in your hand.
Yeah.
Feel the heat billowing from...
I think I would display the Venus de Milo and destroy the Mona Lisa.
Wow.
Oh, man, I've destroyed something at Da Vinci's.
That'd
be
right.
So hard. It would
Here,
hurt.
See that blackening,
you know,
and curling, and the restored part probably burns at a slightly different rate.
But I'd also feel pretty good about finishing what other people failed at.
I did it. And if you don't like that, you come talk to my 8,000 terracotta cool-ass decorations in my yard. Jill. Yeah. Again, Mona Lisa, all 8,000 terracotta warriors, and the Venus de Milo.
I would.
Are we familiar with the Venus of the arms?
No, yeah, no, okay. I know these.
Just make sure.
I've known all of them so far.
Okay.
I would also buy the warriors.
We got a fine poster of the warriors.
I would not set them up as like to fight each other. I would just randomly have them. About in odd positions.
You could like put them in your front window.
Yeah,
so
just like have one. You open a door and there's one there. And then I would
One's in
have
the
Mona.
I
would
like peeking in the
back
seat.
I would still display the Mona Lisa, and then I would just
feel that swing of the
mess
this
up.
Pow!
Yeah, I would crush it.
Just smash that.
Yeah.
Is it because you just can't bear to see the Mona Lisa go? Or is it because of any particular reason where you're like, I don't feel bad?
It's because of that human, that iota in my human DNA that says,
the human,
destroy
yes.
it.
Destroy
it.
Lizard brain, like, I just want
to
smash.
Okay.
Would you dress up your terracotta warriors?
At least one, for sure. At least one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, at least one. What am I talking about? There's 8,000.
You got to put one.
1,000. 1,000 would be dressed up.
Right. You got to put one in, like, a Phillies hat.
Another 1,000.
Like, he's got, like, a thumb, like a gag.
Another 1,000 would just line the property.
You put lays on all of them. That'd be sweet.
You could send some to friends, like, look, this is yours now.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey.
This is Gary.
Yeah.
Jill, moving to you to go first.
Yeah.
Rodin's The Thinker.
Okay.
Monet's famous water lily pond, the
okay.
little bridge over the lily pond.
Yeah, I got it.
And Klimt's famous The Kiss, the sort of gold blanketed. So we've got The Thinker, water lily pond, The Kiss.
I really do like The Kiss. So, like, part of me would love to have that in, like, my house. But I also think it'd be awesome to have The Thinker just, like...
Near the bathroom.
Yeah. Just, like, in just
you kinda have
in
to.
There.
I mean, it's big, but hey.
But if I was being honest, I'd do The Kiss, and then I'd display The Thinker. And I just hate those water lilies. They're just so... So I would...
Yeah, I like it. When you start hearing people like, fuck that thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'd probably slash it and then burn it.
Damn.
Well,
you know what?
Yeah. Destroy it.
I was
going to
say, if you
want to
describe
the
destruction, go for it. Ward, same pieces.
I'm not a fan of Monet, so I would totally destroy the water lilies.
Okay.
I think I would deface them. I think I would.
Yeah, and again, it's ruin. Yeah. I mean,
would you paint poppies over them first? And be like, yes,
like Ward was here.
Yeah,
WUZ.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I just paint over it.
Poppy
I do
attack.
Ward painting, and then like somebody else could buy it and not have any idea that there was a priceless Monet under it.
There you
right.
Go. Okay.
Thinker, I would purchase the Thinker. I'd put him right at the end of the driveway. Leading into my army of terracotta warriors.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
anytime your kids ask you like. Dad, when they get old enough, she'd be like, Dad, can I go on a date? And be like, I don't know. Let's consult. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. Rodin?
So, and I love Rodin also. And then okay. I would display Klimt.
You're going to allow Klimt to stay in a museum is what you're saying.
Yeah, it would be displayed. Okay. I would
purchase it. Because it's in, you know, it's basically hands off that one.
Sure,
right?
Sure. It's displayed for the public to see. Right. I have.
You don't get to send that one to Tony, too. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Ward gets the first crack at the last round here.
Okay.
Last round.
All right.
You're the guest, so here we go. The Persistence of Memory by Salvador Dali, the Melty Melty.
Yep.
The Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Mm-hmm.
And Starry, Starry Night.
Those are all lovely pieces. That's very difficult.
Thank you.
Sean.
I tried. I was like, oh, man. To destroy one of these would be like destroying a priceless work of art.
All right. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I love Dali. So I'm purchasing Dali.
Okay.
All right. I also love Van Gogh, so he can stay in the museum.
Wow.
And
what are you going to do to the girl with the pearl earring?
I'm going to cut her face out, like paste it onto a bathroom wall.
Put like Krusty the Clown in place of the cutout face.
Yeah. I don't remember the story, but there's some... Wasn't he the first one that used early camera?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Sounds right. Sounds right.
Sure. Yeah. I am not qualified.
He used a camera. It's got a name. It's what people were looking at.
Camera obscura?
Yeah, camera obscura to recreate that image. So,
okay.
All right. He cheated.
I call bullshit. That one's gone. Jill, again, Persistence of Memory, Girl with the Pearl Earring, Starry, Starry Night.
I would buy Starry, Starry Night, and then I would display... Dali, and then I would get rid of Girl with Pearl Earring because it gets boring. Ugh, to me, it's like the water lilies.
See, I find that one enchanting. Of the two that I mentioned, the difficult ones for me, the ones that I winced at with destroying, were Girl with the Pearl Earring and the bust of Nefertiti. Like, if someone had said, I destroy that, I felt it viscerally that it was even on the table.
I think Girl with the Pearl Earring is a beautiful painting.
No, you destroyed
destroy it, but I did.
You had no right.
I'm surprised considering earlier you said portraiture. Like,
I thought I had you on this. I thought it was going to be a major conflict, but
I mean, I had to make a choice, right? Did I have it? It was like none.
That's true. Well, I forced your hand, absolutely. Okay, so I guess if anybody out there wants to voice, I would have destroyed this. We would like to know. We'll take one more break. We do still have the contest to reveal the grand winner of the Warriors poster by Tyler Martis, local artist. It's the only way I will say that name. Tyler Martis, local artist.
Yeah.
It scans. It scans. So anyway, we'll be right back. Enjoy this break. Hallelujah.
Hi, this is Dave from the Whip Around. You know what I love? A hot, steaming cup of coffee. But you know what I love more? Stars. So be sure to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review so more people can find the Whip Around. Thanks again.
Hello! Before we get into 3 for the road, we have a few pieces of fun and exciting business to go over. Number one, the poster! The super-duper custom The Warriors movie poster by Tyler Martis, local artist. Local artist Tyler Martis. It's just fun. Say it.
Man,
Do it.
I wish my name rhymed with something.
Ward Van Hout.
Yeah.
He's
wealth.
What's it about?
That's what it rhymes with. Ward Van Hout. You're like, ugh, this guy has a painting of himself somewhere.
She doesn't know what rhyming means.
Anyway, we have a winner at long last. We have some entries to go through. We're going to be choosing a name here and ending this once and for all. And once we announce the name, effectively, you've got 24 hours, whoever the winner is, to reach out to us at thewhiparound@gmail.com to pop your head up, give us some contact information so that we may get this amazing poster to you. So, yeah, without further ado, Jill, are you ready to do the honors?
I am.
All right, here we go. Big drawing for the Warriors movie poster. And the winning name is...
Jason Kempf.
Jason Kempf, winner of the poster. Congratulations. I am rather jealous of you. Can you dig in another movie quotes? Ward, have you seen The Warriors?
Yeah, and it's a really cool poster, too.
It is a very cool poster, sort of a cool retro style. So, Mr. Kempf, you have won yourself an amazing poster and joined an even more exclusive club that I'm not even in.
Oh, man.
So if you don't want the poster, why don't you just give it to me, Jason? So contact us, thewhiparound@gmail.com, and claim this poster. Now, If you don't contact us within 24 hours of the show going live, we will have to choose a new winner.
But we hope that
Sean will be the new winner.
Yeah. So a new winner that, I don't know, hosts a podcast, doesn't want anybody to get to see the original pieces of art. Who knows?
But we hope and we thank you for coming out to play it.
There you go. Ooh, even with a little tilt in the voice. Yeah. All right. So, congrats and thank you, everybody, for rating our shows. And if you haven't already, even though there isn't a contest, it does help the show quite a bit. If you're willing to get in there, review the show, let us know what you like and what you don't like, and give us a rating on iTunes. It helps quite a bit. All right. I would like to just talk about guests really quickly and then actually turn it over to our guest, who has some fun and exciting news of his own for everybody out there. Next week, you're going to want to tune in while Dave Diorio and I get to talk to Paul Fidalgo, the communications director for the Center for Inquiry, all kinds of business with the issues of our society and the separation of church and of state and of governing a society based on reason and science. He will be here with us to talk about all of that. I am told he also has some really fun, I don't even know if it's sneaky, some sneaky, geeky dad things in common with a couple of your favorite hosts of the Whip Around. So he will be with us not long after that on April 30th here on the Whip Around. We'll be engaging in some synergy with Stephen Bost of Steel Trap Trivia, local comedian, man about town. It seems like he is known and loved by just about all.
Yeah.
Steve will be here to talk about all manner of things with us, and it just will happen to fall around the time that the new Avengers Infinity War movie hits theaters. We can talk comics and comic book movies, and we'll have a fun conversation with Steve. You're going to want to be a part of it. Plenty more fun coming down the road. But we've got something more immediate here because we've got a fabulous guest in studio who can tell us about a fabulous new event, correct?
Correct. So this Friday, April 20th, I believe when I was on here last, I said April 21st a couple times, which is a mistake.
But we tried Friday, to pull it back, yes.
April 20th.
420.
Yeah. The Bethlehem House Gallery will be have an opening reception for its spring show, which will feature Tom Kelly, Josh Schwartz, Janet Dance, Tina Cantelmi, and Marta Whistler. And Ward Van Hout will be the artists that are exhibiting in this show. So come out for the opening reception from 6 to 9 p.m. The show runs until July 7th. The following week, April 28th, opens the Soda House, which is a Society of the Arts that I have designed a room with the help of my staff as part of this Society of the Arts as a fundraising organization for the Allison Art Museum. They sell tickets to tour this house that has been each the rooms have been designed by a different local designer.
Cool, man.
So I designed one that will be the 28th through like March, I mean May something. So
what sort of room is this?
I designed an office, and
really?
The furniture and art in it is all made from reused, recycled, repurposed materials.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
So come out and check those.
And when is that one out? The Soda House?
Yeah, it's April 28th is when it starts, and it runs for 2 or 3 weeks. You can find all that information on our social media and website.
So check out Bethlehem House Gallery's Facebook page. Is that the way that it's a Bethlehem House?
It's
they'll
Bethlehem
find it if
House
they go
Gallery,
through Facebook.
Yes. Yep.
Which we'll send you we'll have the link in the show notes too to all of this stuff.
Right.
And speaking of links and show notes, we always give you links and show notes to our links from Three for the Road, and I'm just hobbling through this transition, but are we ready to end things with our bit about those moments that we didn't have time to talk about during the show, or maybe they didn't fit with the theme of the show, and they're just burning a hole in our brain, and we've got to get them out there. So what we'll do is get 30 seconds apiece, we'll go around three times, and then that'll be it. That's the show. And if you go over 30 seconds, well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to hear this. Thank you, Desi. In fact, you're going to hear it anyway, even if you hit it directly at 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. We've got a contractual obligation with the bell maker. We have a big, big deal with the bell maker. We're in the pocket of Big Bell.
Is there any punishment for not using the whole 30 seconds?
We don't really like to talk about it,
okay.
But it will it burns.
Yeah.
It burns. It stings.
We rip your thumb off.
Yep.
That's been done.
Yep. You want to see my desk drawer? It's terrifying. Okay, so I believe, Ward, we want him to go last because he is the guest. So that means
yep.
Jill is going to be going first. So whenever,
yep.
Jill, whenever you're ready, let her rip, and we will have ourselves a blast. Yay.
All right. So I read this really adorable article about this dog in Ontario who ran from his owner because he saw a deer. And so he ran after the deer and I guess ended up in like a scrap with the deer on the side of the road. And somebody called the cops. And so the deer went off because it was a smaller dog. And the dog essentially has like an adorable mugshot in the back of this police car just looking out.
It's too cute. Okay. That's nice. So changing gears here, a word about James Comey, who has a new not-quite-tell-all book out and is doing all the rounds of the press. fuck this guy. He says himself in so many words that his decision in the 2016 presidential election and the things that he leaked and the things that he didn't were motivated by political considerations. He's a high-horse-riding, moralistic twat who thinks he knows better than everyone, looks down his nose at his countrymen, and deserves none of the millions of dollars that this book and this tour will bring him. Fuck out of here, James Comey.
All right. Well, I'm going to challenge Jill on her blaming everything on men between the ages of 16 and 45. Girls destroy art, too. Girls vandalize art. If you look at the list of, like, the top 10 worst art vandalizations, at least half of them are women.
Really?
Some woman took... this is, like, in 1914, so it's not recently. But some woman took a meat cleaver to a Velasquez painting and slashed it up, and there are other examples. Look it up yourself.
Don't be greedy for the time, you man.
Because they were repressed. So I get it. Like, New Yorkers, you're way too cool for school. Like, nothing phases you. I saw all these clips today because it was raining cats and dogs, and like in the subway, just water's pouring down, just deluge in the subway. Actually, even in the subway cars, it was raining. And you see these people totally unfazed. Like, I get it, okay? You're New Yorkers. You've seen it all. You've done it all. Whatever. Nothing phases me, man. You know what?
It's a good New York accent.
How do you not... I know, spot on. How do you not just, like... I don't get it.
All right, so South Korea apparently is over tall American basketball players. At least in South Korea, they are, where foreign players are getting cut for being too tall. There is a 200-centimeter limit in that league now for foreign players, even as averages for centers and forwards in the NBA has been calculated to be 6'9", or about 206 centimeters. Oh, shit! So the rule is that teams can only have two players from overseas. One can be up to 6'6", one can be up to 6'1". Next season. So starting in October, Americans might be too damn tall. What's a baller to do?
All right. It's always weird to me when you meet a Facebook friend that you've never actually met before, but you meet them in person. It's an awkward, weird thing. And they're like, oh, your family's so adorable. And I'm like,
get away from my family.
But like at the same time, you sort of feel like you know them too. It's just a very awkward, weird thing that like has been happening to me more and more recently, where you just like meet them at a thing and you're like, oh, I know we haven't met,
this is why I don't accept those friend requests. Okay,
but
so,
wait, you and I were friends,
yeah, but you're
we
I know
met.
You threw other people, and we have the same alma mater, so there's like
you gotta
there's
start
a
your time
there.
Again
yeah. There's a connection there.
You man.
All right. So I just found out this past weekend that they're remaking Overboard. Have we run out of everything? Have literally are our brains bled dry? I know, it's such a great movie. And this time it's a role reversal. So Anna Faris is the one there's like, yes, basically. I'm like, read the times. Like, it doesn't work in this era, I don't think. Like, oh, you have amnesia. Guess what? I'm going to trick you into thinking that you were my spouse.
What's a baller to do? I'll tell you, North Korea, South Korea fans. They are shrinking themselves. Reports are coming in of basketball hopefuls from the USA slouching and scrunching down at measurement time, jogging excessively because they're hoping that somehow it will do something, and holding extremely heavy objects in both hands as they are getting measured. But before we get too upset, part of Korea's efforts are to keep as many Koreans in the sport as possible. So there, you know, no age or no height restrictions exist on them, so maybe they're just doing this to get enthusiasm for their own sport.
Some of my best experiences growing up were visiting historical sites and museums with my family. We moved every 3 to 4 years, and part of our moving process, we would stop at these historical, like battlefields or like the Independence Hall and everything, and it was really cool. So the people who ruin things for everyone else need to stop. You need to leave the terracotta thumbs where they belong.
in China behind bulletproof glass that no one can ever get through who's not an art major and some kind of expert.
A few bad apples.
Damn it. A few bad lychees.
A few bad cheesesteaks.
Well, there you go. A few bad cheesesteaks. Episode title, BAM!
Nice.
A few bad cheesesteaks. Good job, Jill. Okay, on that, I don't know, very telling note about our particular region, we will bid you a fond goodbye. We look forward to seeing you next week. Again, send us your feedback, thewhiparound@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think it's still sort of kind of there. It's a little still. We'll see about that. But Facebook, very active. Instagram, just a wonderful place to be. I want to say thank you to Ward Van Hout. Again, go see the spring show, which opens on April 20th.
Yes.
And go check out the, what was the term for it? The Soda House.
Soda Idea House.
Okay. April 28th.
Yes.
That is opening. And then be sure to tune into our social media accounts for posts about that and pictures and all kinds of stuff. And check the show notes for all the info. So it's been fun. It's been real. Thank you for both appearances, Ward. This has been a good time.
It's been great. You're welcome. And thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for putting up with Jill and her crazy ideas about fellowship and sister and brotherhood. Okay, everybody, that does it for us. We'll see you next week. We do love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye now. That's the coolest vampire painting I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I was like, cool.
Yeah, man.